WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 22nd of March, 2023. My name is Arthur. I guess it's Women's History Month, so I decided to feature a few radio programs this morning. The middle program is going to be a Gunsmoke I played here earlier, featuring Miss Kitty. Before that, I'm going to play one I found from 1947, titled Police Woman. This one is called Scheming Bridegroom. It had an original air date of the 29th of June, 1947. Thanks for listening.
First Pills presents Police Woman. Tonight, the case of the scheming bridegroom, based on an episode in the career of Lieutenant Mary Sullivan for 35 years on the New York City Police Force.
Lieutenant Sullivan?
Yes?
They told me to speak to you.
Oh, who are you?
Bianca Riazzo.
And what's on your mind?
Well, you see, I want to get married.
Well, what you want is City Hall, young lady, not the police department.
No, I do not make myself clear.
Apparently not.
Well, you see, I want to get married, so I read the ads in the Lonely Hearts magazine. Oh, here, see this advertisement?
Oh, yes. Sounds like most of the others.
Oh, no, this one is different.
Then why don't you answer it?
I should like to, only I'm afraid.
Afraid? Afraid of what?
This man who looks for a wife. I think he's a murderer.
Before we continue with tonight's policewoman adventure, here is something we feel you should know about. If you're out driving and see a train coming, would you try to beat it to the crossing? Of course not. Then, friends, listen. Stop dosing your stomach with soda or alkalizers for indigestion if your trouble is irregularity. Instead, unblock your digestive tract for the real relief you want. For your real trouble is not in the stomach, but in the rest of the digestive tract, where 80% of your food is digested. And when the lower part gets blocked, food may fail to digest easily. Thus, for real relief, don't take soda or an alkalizer. You want something to unblock your lower digestive tract, something to clean it out gently but effectively. Help nature get back on her feet. Get Carter's Pills right now, because taken as directed, Carter's Pills gently and effectively unblock your digestive tract. This permits all five of nature's own digestive juices to mix better with your food. You get genuine relief from indigestion so you can feel really good again. Buy Carter's Pills at any drugstore and let Carter's Pills unblock your digestive tract for real relief from indigestion due to irregularity. Now back to Police Woman. The case of the scheming bridegroom.
Sergeant Clark.
Yes, Mary?
Earlier today, Bianca Riazzo came in to see me. It seems she works as a maid in an apartment on Fifth Avenue.
Oh?
Well, about 6 months ago, there was a cook in that house named Frida. Both girls began answering these lovelorn ads, you know, the ones that appear in certain magazines.
Oh, sure. Wife wanted, you mean, so forth?
Yes. Well, Frida answered an ad and then left for California.
Yes, and I can guess the rest of it, Mary. The man who sent for her was a crook who wanted to cheat her out of her life savings.
Worse than that, Sergeant.
Oh? Murder?
Exactly. Now, Bianca gave me a full description, and I started calling the California police. I learned that a girl answering Frida's description was found dead in Newtown, California, about 6 months ago. Everything checks.
Did they catch the killer?
No. All they have are some fingerprints which were left on Frida's handbag.
Well, how come Bianca came to see you today?
Well, last night she ran across another advertisement in this Lonely Hearts magazine. The ad was identical with the one that Frieda answered.
Oh, he shifted his operations from California to New York.
Right.
Does Bianca know that Frieda's intended look like?
Yes, Frieda showed her a picture. That's all she knows.
Well, there's the matter of the fingerprint.
Yes, now, if I could get a sample...
Mary, don't tell me.
You're right, Sergeant. I need a husband desperately. So I'm answering that ad myself right away. Hello. Hello, Bianca. This is Lieutenant Mary Sullivan. Yes. I've received an answer. The man's name is Pete Milford. We have a date tonight at a bar at 2445 East 14th Street. You got that? Yes, at 8 o'clock. Now, I want you to come to that bar. If you recognize Milford, I want you to say, "Very hot tonight, isn't it?" You get it? Very hot tonight, isn't it?
You kind of surprised me. I never thought you'd be such a pretty one.
Oh, Pete, you're not too bad yourself.
Like I was telling my Uncle Shorty, don't mind if I get hitched now, and I don't mind if she's pretty.
Your Uncle Shorty, who's he?
Oh, he's my uncle on my ma's side.
Oh.
Before you and I can take the final steps, I guess Uncle Shorty's going to have to prove.
Yeah, say, Pete, when we get hitched, if and when we get married, where are we going to live, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, Mary. I got a hunk of farmland out west. Soil's not so bad, but needs improvements.
Well, why haven't you made them?
Got no money, Mary.
Do you expect to get any?
Well, I thought maybe the gal that I married, she'd have the money.
Oh.
You mind if I ask you, Mary, you going to contribute something?
When we get to... Well, I mean, if and when we get hitched, huh? Why, yeah, sure I will.
Oh, I knew you were asleep, Mary. Hey, you know, I don't even have no picture of you.
Well, I got a little one here, Pete, if you'd like it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll get an enlargement made, huh?
Well.
Let me see, it's in my bag somewhere. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Oh, that's mighty pretty, Mary. Yeah, it looks just like you.
Now, give it back to me.
Okay, but don't forget I want that enlargement.
Sure. Oh, look, Pete, there's a friend of mine, a girlfriend. Hey, Bianca. Bianca, come here.
Oh, Mary, imagine meeting you here.
I want you should meet a friend of mine.
Sure.
In fact, you might say he's almost my fiancé.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Bianca, this here's Pete Milford.
Pete Milford? Glad to meet you.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Can you sit down with us?
No, I must be going right away.
Oh, come on, sit a while, huh?
No, I can't. I'm not feeling too well. Very hot tonight, isn't it?
All right, Mary, give me the dope.
I've just got a few seconds now, Sergeant, so listen carefully.
Shoot.
That picture of myself on your desk.
Yeah?
It's got Pete Milford's fingerprints all over it. Now, I want you to develop the prints and wire the complete set to Commissioner Williams, Newtown, California. You got that?
Yeah.
Have him wire back a report.
Where will you be in the meantime?
Well, I've got to meet Uncle Shorty.
Who?
Uncle Shorty. He lives out on Jamaica Bay.
Now, cut it out, Mary. I know everyone in your family. There's no...
I can't explain now, but after I see Uncle Shorty, I'll call you back.
Mighty likable gal there, Pete. I told you I can pick him up, Shorty.
Oh, now, will you stop that man talk?
Well, I'm happy for both of you, Pete. If you want my blessing, you have it.
Thanks, Uncle Shorty.
Say, when you planning to tie up?
Oh, pretty soon, maybe a couple of days.
Well, then why wait? How about eloping tonight?
Yeah, never thought of that.
Listen, Pete, you're heading back to the farm after the wedding, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, then why don't you head out west tonight? I know it just as the peace crossed the state line. He'd marry you in a minute. Then you go on the farm.
Oh, Pete, that sounds so romantic.
Yeah, I guess I like that idea. Only, how do we do our traveling?
I got a station wagon, ain't I? Look, Mary, you head back to your house and get ready. And come out here to Jamaica Bay. Around 8 tonight, I'll get the car in condition, take you and Pete to Parson.
Well, that sounds fine on me. I think we'd better make it tomorrow night. You see, Pete here, he's going to need some money for his farm, and, well, I got the money for him, but except it's in the bank, and that's closed now.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah, in the morning, I'll draw the money out. What do you got to say to that, Pete?
Mary, all I got to say is that things are working out mighty fine.
Hello, Sergeant. This is Mary Sullivan.
Where were you all day yesterday, Mary?
Well, just so happens I was out at Jamaica Bay, and, oh, by the way, I'm going back there tonight. You see, Pete Milford will be with me tonight, and, I expect the payoff.
What?
Yeah, now listen. The address is 47 Front Street. You got that?
Yeah.
It's way out in Brooklyn. It's a lonely spot, just the house and water. That is, in case you're interested.
Oh, sure, I'm interested, but listen, Mary... I've got news, too.
Oh, you have? Go ahead.
Got a report from California this morning.
Well, don't keep me in suspense.
The fingerprints found on a dead girl are not Pete Milford's. Mary. Mary, you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd kind of expected something else.
Yeah, I know you did. Still going to keep that date with Pete?
Yeah. Oh, this is a setback, I admit, but I can't drop Pete until I'm sure.
Nice out here. Near the bay and the twilight, ain't it, Mary?
You know, I thought your Uncle Shorty was going to be waiting with his car.
Uncle Shorty went down the road for a while, pick up some tools.
Oh.
I'm, kind of glad we're alone.
Yeah?
Because we're going to be married, and I think there's something you ought to know, Mary.
Oh, what's that, Pete?
Well, you see, I'm not much for book learning, Mary. In fact, I can hardly read and write.
Well, I wouldn't hold that against you, man. Wait a minute. You say you can hardly read or write?
Yeah. I hope it makes no difference.
Then who put that ad in the magazine and answered my letter, huh?
Oh, well, that was my Uncle Shorty's doing.
Now, Pete, listen to me carefully. Did you ever advertise for a wife before?
Huh? No.
You didn't advertise 6 months ago, get an answer, and ask the girl to come to California?
No, not me. I ain't never been in California.
What?
You can trust me, Mary.
Well, now, Pete, I've got something to tell you. You see, I happen to be a policewoman.
What?
And I want to know the truth. Were you in California 6 months ago?
No, no, Mary, not me. My Uncle Shorty was, but not me.
Don't you know it's enough to keep your trap shut?
Barbara,
keep your hands up, policewoman. You know too much now.
Very smart scheme you cook up, Shorty. 6 months ago, you placed an ad in a magazine under your nephew's name. It was answered by a girl named Frida. She came out west, and you murdered her for a savings.
Save your breath, copper.
You knew the blame would point to Pete.
So what? I'll kill you both and blow this town.
We have other ideas.
He's out cold, Sergeant.
Yeah. Lucky I didn't forget the address of this place. I was right outside. I saw and heard it off. Hey, is that the guy who's been courting you?
Yeah. That's me.
Now, Pete, looks like you lost a wife.
Yeah, but we caught a murderer.
In just a moment, Mary Sullivan in person will tell you more about tonight's policewoman case. In the meantime, does your underarm deodorant really protect you and your clothes from offending others? Or are you half safe?
Or are you half-safe?
Don't be half-safe. Be Arid-safe. Use Arid to be sure. No other deodorant tested. Only Arid stops your perspiration and deodorizes you so completely, yet so safely. Only new, wonderful Arid protects you these three ways. One, Arid really protects you from offending. Two, Arid really protects your clothes from offending and from stains by stopping perspiration. Three, creamy Arid is safe for your skin and clothes. Gentle, antiseptic. More nurses use Arid than any other deodorant.
Don't be half safe.
Don't be half safe.
Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure. And now, here is Mary Sullivan.
Pete Milford was found to be the innocent dupe of his uncle and released. Uncle Shorty was executed... for the vicious murder he committed. This is the last program of our current series, and I want to thank my many listeners from coast to coast for their kind letters of interest, and hope they've enjoyed the show as much as I have. Until we meet again on the air, this is Lieutenant Mary Sullivan saying au revoir.
Thank you, Mary Sullivan. This program, as well as all other programs of the series, was based on an episode in the career of Lieutenant Mary Sullivan for 35 years on the New York City Police Force. This is Dick Dunham speaking. In the dramatic portion of tonight's policewoman case, leading roles were played by Betty Gard and Walter Vaughn. Policewoman is a Phillips H. Lord production.
So, we heard Policewoman, titled Scheming Bridegroom, with an original air date of the 29th of June, 1947. Featuring some women's radio dramas this week, as it's Women's History Month. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Next up, I have an episode of Gunsmoke titled Kitty's Killing. It's had an original air date of the 2nd of February, 1958. Thanks for listening.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Circular about snowbutt in.
Well, come on in. The door ain't locked.
Oh, forevermore. Like a body could open the door for theirself.
Good morning.
Oh.
Well,
come on in, mister.
I want to see the marshal.
Well, he ain't here just now. He rode out south of town a little piece. Something I can do for him, mister?
Are you a good man?
How's that?
They say the marshal's a good man. Are you good likewise?
No, I don't rightly know. I can tell you one thing, though. I expect I just do about the best I can.
Can you open the lockup?
Well, of course I can, but I don't know what that's got to do with it.
I want you to unlock it.
Now, that just don't make sense. Ain't even nobody in there.
I want you to put somebody in it.
Oh, well, that's different. Where's he at? What's he done?
I want you to lock me up.
You? You wanted somewhere? You giving yourself up, are you?
My hands are clean.
Well, then what in the world?
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Well, of course. Mine. But I can't just go throwing somebody in jail without they've done something. There's probably a law in there.
There's the Lord's law.
Well, I know that, but what's that got to do with
it? Thou shalt not kill.
Yes, but you said yourself you ain't done nothing.
It's heavy upon me to kill a man. I want you to lock me up to stay my hand.
Look here now, mister. You don't have to kill nobody if you just set your mind to it. Leastways, locking you up won't do no good. What about when you come out?
It will be safe by tomorrow. You will have left town by tomorrow.
Well, now, I don't know that I can go around putting... Oh, Mr. Dillon, you sure are a sight for sore eyes.
Hello, Chester. What's the matter?
It's him, Mr. Dillon. He wants me to lock him up. He claims he feels like killing somebody.
Oh? Anybody in particular?
Well, he ain't said. I was just fixing to ask him.
Oh, never mind, Chester. See to my horse, will you? I'll take care of this.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Are you the marshal?
I'm the marshal.
I'm called Jacob Leach, marshal. I'm a God-fearing man.
What's this about locking you up?
It's upon me to kill a man, Marshal. I want to be locked up till morning so I'll not be tempted.
Oh, and who would tempt you?
Man of sin.
Does he have a name?
His name is Radford.
Radford?
Ollie Radford, a man of sin.
Well, what's he done? What have you got against him?
He lives with sin, Marshal. He shall be punished with everlasting destruction.
That's not exactly your job, is it?
I pray that I may not be the instrument of the Lord's destruction. I ask that you lock me up, Marshal, until Radford has left town tomorrow.
All right, Leach. I've had a hard ride, and I don't feel much like arguing with you about destruction. Yeah, I'll lock you up for the night. Come on over here. All right, go on.
You've acted wisely, Marshal.
Maybe. Well, let me tell you something. After you get out of here, you go right on leaving the destruction business to the Lord. Or to the law.
The sinner shall surely be put to death.
Yeah. Well, so shall the murderer. You might remember that.
Now, just listen a minute, if you will. I've got a little story to tell you. Well, it's not so little, it's sort of a tall tale. It's about a military hero. Well, at least a hero of the military. Kilroy's his name. That's about all the information there is about his vital statistics. But since the beginning of World War II, he's been in every theater of operation from Africa to Australia, from Kwajalein to Korea, and all points west, as the saying goes. And when they finally get to Mars, they'll probably find out that he's been there first, too. They all claim him as their own. The Army, the Navy, Air Force, even the Marines. So it's kind of hard to tell just what uniform he wears. But there's one thing for sure. Whatever his uniform might be, he's become a symbol of the courage and ingenuity of American men in uniform who have accomplished the impossible wherever it had to be accomplished. He was on Heartbreak Ridge and Guadalcanal. He was out in front with Jimmy Doolittle's squadron over Tokyo. He climbed Mount Casino, walked through Berchtesgaden, crawled through Anzio, and waded ashore at Iwo Jima. You name the place, and his mark is there. Kilroy was here. Paul Bunyan, Mike Fink, Pecos Bill, and all the rest of our legendary heroes have more or less confined their activities to the boundaries of our country. But Kilroy has been wherever our men in uniform have been, and what's more, he's usually been there first. Impossible? Well, you might easily think that. If you hadn't seen his signature on the wall in a prison camp, or inside a concrete bunker, painted on a blown-up enemy tank, or chalked on the top of a bleak, bomb-cratered hill in Korea, you might say impossible. But there are those who don't. And I'm not going to argue with them because they're fellas who've been there. This is sort of their story I've been telling you, theirs and his. They're the ones who have made it sort of nice being citizens of our United States. Citizens with freedom to talk and laugh. And free to write and read and worship, too. Yes, sir. Maybe you don't think about it much, but you should.
Thank you.
there's just no doubt about it. In my mind, Radford, it was the only thing to do.
Yes, I suppose so.
Oh, I know it was a hard move to make, but it was the only thing to do.
Whatever is right for her, Doc, I'm going to do it.
Well, you've done it, Radford. I expect living in one room at a boarding house is a little cramped after ranch living.
Oh, well, we've lived in one room before. Anyway, it won't be forever.
No, I guess about a month at the outs. Oh, morning, Matt. Yeah, see, that's Marshal Matt.
Morning, Doc.
Yeah.
You're out early. You looking for business?
Oh, I've got so much business, I don't have time to look for it. Oh, Matt, this is Ollie Radford.
Marshal?
Radford, huh? I haven't seen you around here before, have I?
No, Marshal, I don't get to town very often. I set up ranching out near Cimarron a few months back.
Oh? You got business in Dodge?
Well, no, Marshal. Tell the truth, I don't have no business in Dodge at all. But my wife has, don't she, Doc?
Yes, you see, I moved the Radfords into Ma Smalley's for a few weeks, Matt. Mrs. Radford's expecting. And she's not very strong. I just want to kind of keep an eye on her.
They'll be here for a while, huh?
Well, 3-4 weeks, I figure. Well, I'll see you two later. I've got to get on up to my office there.
All right, Doc.
Yeah, you tell Molly what I said, Radford.
I'll do that, Doc, and thanks.
So long, Doc.
Goodbye.
Radford, you know a fellow named Leach?
Jacob Leach?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you run into him?
Right here in Dodge. He says that, he might have to kill you.
Marshal, that man's crazy.
Yeah, maybe so, but he sounds like he might really go after you. Has he got any reason for killing you?
4 years ago, back in Missouri, I was married to his sister.
Oh. Would you go off and leave her or something?
No, Marshal. She died.
I see. Leach blamed you for it, huh?
Well, he said I killed her. She died trying to have our baby. That's why I want Doc close by this time.
Doc's a good man with babies. Does Leach know that you're married again?
Well, if he's here in town talking about killing, he must have found out. Oh, he'd think it was a terrible sin, Marshal, me marrying again.
Yeah. Well, he thinks you're just in town to pick up supplies and they're heading back this morning. We'll just try to keep him thinking that way.
I'd be obliged, Marshal. I've never been afraid to meet a man in a fair fight, but this don't even make sense. You can't even reason with that man.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes it dangerous. You know, Radford, it might be a good idea if you'd stay off the streets for the next day or two, and I'll try to encourage Leach to go back where he came from.
Marshal.
Yeah?
I ain't a man to want to get into trouble, but I can't stay off the streets and hide it from him forever. There ain't no justice in that. I'll fight him if I have to.
Radford, I'll tell you just about what I told him.
What's that?
You let the law handle justice.
Well, that's quite a story, Matt. But I haven't seen anybody like Jacob Leach in here.
Well, he might not let himself come into a sinful place like a saloon, Kitty.
Some of them do, to preach.
Well, anyway, you send me word if he does come in here, will you?
Yeah, I sure will, Matt.
Just want to keep track of him if I can.
Yeah.
He's a fanatic. You can't tell which way he's going to jump.
Did he say how long he'd be in town?
Well, he's going back to Missouri in 2 or 3 days. So if I can keep Radford out of his sight, I think we'll be all right.
Matt?
What?
Doesn't look like I'll have to send for you.
How's that?
Well, I think that's your man coming in the door right now.
What? Oh, yeah. Hello, Leach. They told me you'd be here. This is a strange place to find a good man, Marshal. What's on your mind? I was thinking to tell you goodbye, Marshal. I have a call to leave this town of temptation. Oh? That might be a good idea. You set a sinful example, Marshal, frequenting this den of iniquity. Why don't you let me worry about that, Leach? With this woman. This brazen woman.
Now, just a minute.
All right, come on, Leach. I think it's about time you got out of here.
Mr. Dillon?
My word shall be heard.
Mr. Dillon?
Mr. Dillon, you know where Doc's at?
Not right now, Chester. Why?
Well, it's Ollie Radford's wife over at Moss Mall.
Chester.
She
all
took
right.
sudden and she took
okay,
bad.
Okay, all right, Chester. I'll help
right
you look
away.
For it. Come on. Kitty, you listen to what Leach has to say now.
What?
Understand?
Sure, ma'am. Sure.
Did he say Ollie Radford?
I didn't hear him, Mr. Leach. Don't you want to go on with what you were saying?
Don't lie to me, woman. They all lie. They lie and they sin. But it's clear now.
Oh, Mr. Leach.
There's no other way. He is here. I must seek them out and kill them. I can no longer shirk my duty.
Them? Well, no.
I must kill Ollie Radford and the marshal. He is no better than the others. He lied to me. He protected a sinner.
Mr. Leach, do you want to help save a sinner?
Woman, it is my cross to bear to seek out sinners and save them. I must find my way to this Mar Smalley's. I must ask my way and seek them out.
Mr. Leach.
What?
How can I be saved?
Saved? I'm afraid it's too late for you, woman.
But if I helped you, if I helped you find them, if I showed you the way?
A Jezebel come to repent?
Why not?
Yes. Jacob Leach is indeed the instrument of the Lord.
Well, then let me take you there. You won't have to ask your way.
Yes, woman. You lead the way. Lead the way and we will save the sinners.
Come on, then. We'll go out the back way and come up behind them. I sure want to help save those sinners.
Some of us think Connecticut is a suburb of New York City, but it isn't really. It just seems that way because so many people working in the city commute daily between their jobs and the grassy, country-like atmosphere of Stamford, Greenwich, or Larchmont. Those who don't commute, preferring to work where they live, may 9 to 5 it at the electric boat division of General Dynamics in New London, selling insurance in Hartford, or making clocks in Bristol. But regardless of where they work, both groups of people have a great deal in common. They don't share merely the nutmeg or constitution state, for the place of their residence is shared with others, such as P.T. Barnum, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Nathan Hale, Noah Webster. People in Connecticut today share the yearly excitement of the Yale-Harvard crew races, the beauty of the mountain laurel blossom in late spring, pride in their state's early Yankee peddlers, and more than anything, the true meaning of their state motto, he who transplanted sustains.
I'm much obliged to you both for finding Doc and coming here to warn me.
It's all right, Radford. You just stay here and Doc will fix her up. We'll handle Leach.
Sure, Marshal. Good night.
Good night. Come on, Chester.
Miss Kitty sure moved right in and took over with old Leach, didn't she?
Kitty's a smart girl, Chester.
You got a plan about him, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I just hope I can sort of ease him out of town. You push that kind too hard and they're likely to go wild on you. Then people get hurt.
I declare, I don't know why I didn't have no more sense than to just blurt out Radford's name like I did.
Well, maybe he didn't hear you.
No, but what if he did?
We just have to hope that Kitty can handle it. Hurry, woman. Time is running out.
I'm going as fast as I can, Mr. Leach. There's not much farther to go.
We've already come quite a way. Are you sure you know the house?
Oh, yeah, of course. Just down there. You see it? It's off the road to the left, over there.
Judgment approaches. The sinner shall be punished.
We shall not fail.
I hope not.
I see no lights. Are you sure of where you're leading me?
Well, Moss Molly doesn't encourage callers this time of night. There'll be lights in the back room where Ollie is.
And the marshal. The marshal must be there, too.
I hope he'll be there, too, Mr. Leach. Just as much as you do.
Where do you reckon they went, Mr. Dillon?
Well, Sam says Kitty seemed to go with him of her own accord.
Well, why would she do that?
To keep him from following us. Well, one thing, sure, she's not leading him to Ma Smalley's.
Yeah, but if we don't know where she went, how are we going to find her?
I don't know.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
This Leach, would he kill Miss Kitty?
Yeah, Chester, I think he would.
Isn't this the house you pointed out?
Well, yeah, it is, Mr. Leach. I just thought we might wait for some sign that they're in there.
Why do you doubt it all of a sudden? You promised me you'd lead me to the sinners.
Oh, I've led you to them, all right, Mr. Leach. It's just...
We'll go in.
Well,
come. You go up the steps with me. Open the door.
Yeah.
Isn't it strange that there are no lights?
No, Mr. Leach. Ma'll bring a light in it. She doesn't believe in waste. She believes wastefulness is a sin.
A small sin. There are many others of greater importance. Get to strike a light. It's empty. This is no rooming house. This place is deserted. Woman, you have led me astray.
I must have been mistaken.
It was no mistake. You are indeed a Jezebel. Now I must punish you, too. Stand still.
The light went out.
I need no light to see you to carry out your punishment.
You lay a hand on me. I'll scratch your eyes out.
Woman of sin, you're going to die.
Not likely, mister. Now, you keep away from me. You don't want to get blown in half.
You took my gun.
I sure did, mister. You come near me, I'll shoot you, sure.
You woman without shame. You shall not escape. No gun will protect you.
You keep back. I warn you. Keep back.
You cannot escape me.
I shot him.
Kitty, you all right?
I'm all right. I shot a man, Matt.
He's dead, Mr. Dillon.
Matt! Oh, Matt!
Now, Kitty.
It's an awful thing. Kill a man.
Yes, it is, Kitty. Even when a man's nothing but a killer, it's always bad.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Actually, it's not the Armed Forces Radio Service. We heard Gunsmoke, Kitty's Killing, had an original air date of the 2nd of February, 1958. We'll go ahead and honor an FCC obligation here for a moment.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then, someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Thank you, Ad Council. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. So before the FCC obligation, we heard, like I said, Gunsmoke, Kitty's Killing. Honoring women in radio this week. Next up, I got another quarter hour daily. It seems in the vein of Philco, which I played years ago on this show. And then these female detectives, private eyelashes, as they're called, referred to sometimes. They seem to have a lot of quarter hour dailies, except Candy Matson. But I've played all those Candy Matsons previously. Well, here's another one I found. This is Jane Endicott. Reporter. This is titled Girl Bites Dog. This had an original air date of the 7th of January, 1942. Thanks.
Can't forget my byline. By Jane Endicott, reporter.
Rancho Soups present Jane Endicott, reporter. Another dramatic episode in the life of an American girl in the world of today. Stories of adventure, romance, and humor. Our story today, headlined Girl Bites Dog, somehow involves a forest fire, too. It's all very bewildering. But first, friends, a few words about Rancho Soups. Rancho soups are canned soups made in the West for Western tastes and appetites. Starting up just a couple of years ago, these small-town soups of the Sunnyvale Packing Company have grown to the point where they're sold in 8 Western states, and their popularity is increasing daily by great leaps and bounds. There are 7 varieties of Rancho soup now. Rancho tomato, vegetable, asparagus, and pea soups. And 3 party soups. Rancho chicken noodle, cream of mushroom, and chicken gumbo. And because they're made right here in the West and freight costs are low, you can buy Rancho soups at amazingly low prices at your nearest grocer's. Yet they are guaranteed to match the quality of any other canned soups on the market, regardless of price. Now, there are several good reasons for the quality and flavor of Rancho soups. First of all, they're made from fresh materials, produced practically in the front yard of the Rancho kitchens. Then they're blended and seasoned to authentic old Western home-style recipes, and they're simmered for hours, just as you might make soup at home, to develop every ounce of flavor. There are two sizes at your grocer's, the regular and the family sizes. Pick up a few cans today and see if Rancho soups aren't the most satisfying you ever tasted. And now, Jane Endicott, reporter. Today's episode headlined, Girl Bites Dog.
Feed down before the flames hit us. That fire gets past us. Goodbye, Caballero Oil Field.
In the editorial rooms of Westburn's only newspaper, the Press Chronicle, Pete Flaherty, the editor-in-chief, looks up eagerly as his partner, Tony Jervis, breezes in.
Hey, Pete. I just had the forest ranger headquarters on the phone.
Stop the presses! Stop the presses!
Hey, they got that fire under control. It's okay now. The oil field's out of danger, Pete.
Well, ain't that lovely? The greatest story we've ever had chopped to pieces.
Story? What story?
The one I wrote about the fire. 1,000 oil wells blowing skyward in a maelstrom of blazing death and destruction. Westburn surrounded by a ring of flame. Explosions blasting.
Yeah, but Pete, you haven't even been near the fire.
I didn't have to be. I saw it all mentally.
Oh, you better throw that crystal ball out of the window before it gets us into trouble. Hey, Jerkins! Jerk that oil field yarn out and get ready to set up another story to take its place. Make it snappy. We're 6 hours past the deadline already. Well, she's rolling at last.
Tony, I was just thinking. How do you suppose that fire got started?
Pete, I'm asking you for the last time, stop dreaming up stories. I've invested too much money in this sheet to make it a laughing stock.
This fire was no mere accident.
Huh? How do you figure that?
It was simple. The wind was blowing in just the right direction to bring the fire down to the Caballero oil field, if unchecked. It doesn't happen every day. I smell a rat.
Well, don't look at me.
Well, figure it out for yourself. I'll give you the background. Old Benjamin Wench, who owns everything in this town, including this very building, also owns the Caballero oil field. And he didn't get it by playing Santa Claus. Why, the idiot who owned Caballero property didn't even know what it was all about until Wench had the land. Got it for song, too. Naturally, the previous owner has it in for him. Going to get revenge. Hey, see how it adds up? The fire, the wind blowing the right way.
Oh, forget it. You and your pipe dreams.
Tony, my lad, on a small paper like this, it pays to dig up choice items such as I've just suggested. Builds up local interest. Why, considering the state of our present circulation, we ought to call this paper the Daily Anemia. We've got to have more circulation.
Good morning.
Jane.
Well, good morning to you. What can I do
for you? Oh, Pete, this is the new woman's page editor I told you about.
Oh, that's... What?
Don't you remember? The one I hired.
My dear fellow, you mean you were serious?
Yeah. Now, Jane, meet your other boss, Mr. Peter Flaherty.
How do you do, Mr. Flaherty? I'm very happy to meet
you. Well, my dear girl, welcome to the Press Chronicle. Oh, Tony, I think you've got something here. Yes, yes, indeed. However, we can't afford to take on a tyro.
Hey, look, Pete, this girl's no amateur. She was editor of her college daily paper. She's good.
Well, excuse me, Tony. I didn't know the editor hadn't been consulted about
this. Now, wait a minute. I hired you. See, it's legal.
Well, then I'm resigning. I'd rather not be
a... Now, wait a minute. Will you wait a minute? Look, Pete, take it from me, Miss Endicott has a good head on her.
Yeah,
she's a
so has a glass of beer, but it doesn't mean a thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but you needn't...
Now, come back here, Jane. Now, Pete, I'm warning you.
One moment, Miss...
The name is Endicott, Jane Endicott, and she's the swellest newspaper woman you'll find west of the Rockies. As a matter of fact, it was she who wrote that interview I had with Captain Endicott, her father.
Oh, it was it? Well, I wondered why you made a comedy piece out of it instead of turning the heat on the old boy. I see. Well, Miss Endicott, do you consider yourself qualified to conduct the Press Chronicle's family page?
I'd like to try.
Oh, very well. I'll give you a test assignment. If you do it, well, the job is yours.
Now, look, Pete,
It's only fair to Miss Endicott, Tony.
Yes, I'd much rather, Tony, if you don't mind. I don't want any doubt in Mr. Faraday's mind as my competence.
Ah, that's the spirit. That's the spirit. Miss Endicott, the trouble with this town is that there are too many dogs biting men. That's not news. I want to see a few men biting dogs. That's news.
Well, what am I supposed to do about it?
Well, that's up to you, but bring me in a good story. Bite a dog yourself.
Now, what kind of an assignment do you call that?
That, my dear Tony, was merely an illustration.
Oh.
But she's supposed to run a woman's page, social gossip, recipes, advice to the lovesick, not look for front page banner headlines.
If she's a newspaper woman, she'll welcome the opportunity.
Yes, you're perfectly right, Tony. I'll take any assignment he gives. I insist on it. I'll show him I can handle any type of story whatsoever.
Ah, that's the spirit. That's the spirit. Now, get this.
Yeah?
That forest fire, the FBI suspect us.
What are you talking about? The FBI have nothing to do with it.
Ah, well, all right, all right. The police suspect...
Police nothing.
All right, I suspected arson, see? And that's enough. Who's giving out the assignment anyway? Now, look, dear. Hmm? You know who owns that oil field, don't you?
Yes, Mr. Winch, I think.
You think? I'll guarantee it. Now, as you probably know, he has enemies, deadly enemies.
Yeah.
I have a hunch they're out to burn him out.
Hmm?
Now, today the wind is blowing from the side of the valley that hasn't been burned toward the oil field. Now, they may try something this very night. You go out there, snoop around.
Right.
Okay. Now, you bring me back a story that'll set the world on fire.
It's been nice of you to come out here in the hills with me, Tony, but it seems like an awful waste of time somehow.
Well, you didn't have to do this, Jane. You're already hired. Besides, this is just a fairy tale, a wild goose chase. Come on, let's go back to the car. It's late. It's getting cold.
Ooh, it's getting chilly, isn't it?
You should have been with me last night covering the fire. It was so cold, my red flannels turned blue.
Oh. Hey, look across the valley. That fire certainly blackened the whole side of that mountain.
Mm. I tell you what, we'll stop by at the sheriff's office and get some figures on the cost of the timber ruin. That'll be enough meat for a story for tomorrow's issue anyway. Come on, let's get back to the road.
Okay. Tony.
What's wrong?
I could have sworn I saw a man crouching there on the top of those rocks ahead of us. He seemed to be watching us.
I don't see a thing.
He's gone now.
Oh, it's probably just a shadow.
No. It was too clear.
That came from behind us.
Gone now. Tony, you think we're being followed?
Well, who would want to follow us?
I don't know, but after what Mr. Flaherty said, that...
Hey, there's more than one and they're trying to stalk us. Come on, give me a hand.
Okay.
We're getting out of here.
Oh!
Oh! Uh-oh, guns, stand where you are, Jane. Let them come, whoever it is.
Don't make a move, neither of you.
Tony.
Oh, that's Sheriff Johnson.
Keep him covered, man.
Hiya, Sheriff. Hey, what's the idea of the fireworks? Somebody's liable to get hurt.
Oh, not you, huh? What? Miss Endicott, what are you doing here?
I'm on assignment with Mr. Jervis, Sheriff.
You?
Yes, I'm with the Press Chronicle now. What's wrong?
Well, I ain't quite sure yet. What are you looking for?
Well, we want to take a look at the fire damage from across the valley. You can see it all from here. Well, who'd you think we were? Why'd you shoot? What's cooking?
Nothing. Yet. I got a telephone call a while ago saying that somebody was going to be here about this time and try to set the woods afire again. And then you came along.
Telephone call?
From whom?
He didn't say. We traced it to a telephone booth in a pool parlor full of bums.
Ah, it's just somebody trying to be funny.
Well, he won't think it's funny.
There he is,
with
those rocks.
Oh, where?
On that hill, the man who was watching us, he's running away.
Let's go, boys. Get him. Come on, boys. Oh, whoever it was, he got away, all right. Anybody find anything?
Not a thing.
Well, you'd better be getting on back, the both of you. There'll be guards posted through the woods tonight. If you run into them, you're liable to be shot. Happy New Year. Come on, boys.
Sweet fellow. I wonder if for once Pete's hunch is right, that there was actually an attempt to burn the oil field.
I think not.
Oh? Why not? You didn't recognize that guy in the hill, did you?
No, but I have a pretty good idea who it was.
Who?
Tony. I didn't want to mention this while the sheriff was around, but I've been hiding this under my coat. Look. Recognize it?
I'll say I do. Where'd you find it?
Over there by those rocks where we saw him.
Oh, come on. Pete will get a kick out of this. He certainly will.
Yes, he certainly will.
Well, for the love of Mike, Tony, have you been out with Jane all this time? Well, I might have known. Look, dear, weren't you supposed to get this story by your lonesome?
Well, I did want to, Mr. Flaherty, but Mr. Jervis insisted
that... She doesn't have to apologize. What's that you're writing, Pete?
Never mind. It just proves my point. Miss Endicott, if you weren't a rank novice, Tony wouldn't offer any help at all. I'm sorry, dear, but you won't do.
But, Mr. Flaherty, I did get a story, and I'd have gotten it if he hadn't been with me.
Yeah?
And it's a Lulu.
Well, spill it.
I want to say one thing, Mr. Flaherty. You were right about your suspicions of arson. We ran into at least 50 men hiding in the hills, armed to the teeth. The sheriff and a posse were out there after them, and you should have heard the shooting. That they had shotguns and machine guns.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on there. If there's one thing I can't forgive in a reporter, it's deliberate faking.
But, Mr. Flaherty...
Why, you shocked me, Miss Endicott. Haven't you ever heard of newspaper ethics?
But, Mr. Ferret...
Not another word. I know what happened. I just returned from the sheriff's office. There was only one person. And they never even got close to him. My dear girl, you must be nuts.
Oh, not her, but you must be nuts.
Huh?
Give him his hat, Jane.
Here you are, Mr. Flaherty. We found it in the hills where you dropped it.
What?
There's only one fedora like that in the whole wide world. And if the sheriff had seen it before we did, you'd be...
Wait till the press services get the news of how an editor tried to fake a story by sending a cub reporter out on a phony assignment.
Huh?
Then telling the sheriff the woods were full of crooks. And then parking himself on a hill to watch the whole thing himself.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, squirm worm.
Oh, my dear girl, you mustn't make irresponsible statements like that. Why, if it ever got out, why, it would ruin me. That is, Mr. Jervis and myself. And the Press Chronicle. Now, suppose we let well enough alone and handle the story entirely from the sheriff's point of view, huh? Yes? Well, after all, my dear, as woman's page editor of the Press Chronicle, I hardly think you'd want to imperil its existence, would you, at $25 a week?
Well, I don't know if...
Yeah, that's the spirit. That's the spirit. I knew I could depend on you.
But why did you do it?
My dear girl, as a newspaper man of the old school, let me give you a piece of valuable advice. When the march of time slows down in a town like this, give it the hot foot.
Yeah, in other words, Janie means if there isn't any local news, make it, even if you have to murder your grandmother.
Well, that isn't exactly ethical, is it, Mr. Flaherty?
Ethical, she says.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Jane, I'll buy you a hot dog.
Say, that's news.
News? What's news?
Girl bites dog.
More about Jane Endicott in just a moment. But now, friends, please let me call your attention to something very special about those Rancho soups down at your favorite grocer's. Next time you're in the store, pick up a can of Rancho soup and read what it says in the shield that's printed on every label. Better than that, let me read it for you right now. It says that Rancho soups are packed under the continuous inspection service of the United States Department of Agriculture. Now, only the Rancho people give you the advantage of this unusual government service on soup. A service that assures you that everything inside the can is as it should be. When you buy a can of Rancho soup, you know that it contains good, wholesome ingredients and that it's made under clean, wholesome conditions. As a matter of fact, Rancho soups are made from produce grown right on the fine western farmlands surrounding the Rancho kitchens. The vegetables, pastes, and poultry used in Rancho soups are top grade. But best of all, they're simmered for hours to give you the soupiest, homemadest tasting soups that you ever poured out of a can. So delicious, you'd never guess the price, which I'm sure you'll find amazingly low. Try a can of Rancho soup with dinner tonight and see if it isn't the most delicious soup you ever tasted.
By Jane Endicott. Girl bites dog.
The story of Jane Endicott Reporter is brought to you over these same stations every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time by Sunnyvale Packing Company, makers of those increasingly popular Rancho soups. Tom Hanlon speaking.
Hear ye.
Just arrived our Hearthside Brick Oven Baked Beans, baked with generous chunks of pork and the most delicious sauce you ever tasted. Try Hearthside Baked Beans today.
Jane Endicott or Jane Endicott Reporter. That one was titled Girl Bites Dog with an original air date of the 7th of January 1942. I guess it was not a quarter hour daily. It had sort of an academic schedule on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, which is interesting. Again, like I said before, featuring women in radio this week, and again they were slighted because they only got quarter hour shows for the most part, except for Candy Matson. My name is Arthur, and this has been the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for listening.